Thank you, Patricia. That was tremendous. Thank you for being here tonight. Great crowd. I was concerned with all of the smoke. It's actually got a little bit better, the breeze. How many of you enjoy the breeze, right? Good. I'm hoping this will go away. Let me just mention a couple things since it's my first time up here tonight, but pray about something. As far as we know, I think it's pretty much set that we are going to be able to get a wood floor given to us for the gymnasium. And I'm not trying to jinx it. They told us we could do it. There's a place that is ripping out like 38 quarts, and we have to kind of go in there. But it looks like pretty much for sure, unless something slips through the cracks, that we'll be able to get that. And to you, it's like, oh, that's nice, free wood. No, that's like $75,000.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I could care less about free wood. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Okay, that's for fireplaces. $75,000 savings. That's what I'm all about. So pray about that, though. That's not, I'm just, the way they've been going back and forth with them, I will not be, I'll not be 100% for sure until the wood shows up, okay? And so I do pray about that. And then, you know, I just want to mention, of course, this whole year has just been weird. It has, right? Man, I was really excited about our theme. I mean, you know, reaching people, being disciples, just the whole thing. And then 2020 started. A lot of people had as their theme, 2020 vision. Everybody's blind, okay? There is no 2020 vision. And things are just crazy. And by the way, and a lot of times we don't get it, but maybe just I'm a little older and I'm looking at things. Our country has changed so much in 6 months. It's not going to snap back.
Yeah.
Some things will, but it's just ridiculous what's going on. Our governor said it. He said it when it started, that he wants to use this, and they should use this to change our society to what they want it to be. They, mostly the Democrats.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'll give him credit on one thing. He's done that.
Yep.
He's done that. And even he just reiterated it last week, and he's talking about once this is over, there's just going to be one after another. He has no intentions of freeing if he can.
Yeah.
He just can't. He can't help himself. And so the point I'm saying is I'm depressed.
Yeah.
But things will get better, okay? We're just going through this now. But I want us to understand that during a time like this, we need God more than ever. And I hope you understand that, and I hope that's not just been something we've harped on for 6 months. I hope it's been a reality in your life.
Yes, sir.
I looked at a map today of the wildfires to see what was going on, and all of them are in Washington, Oregon, and California,
yep.
The three most liberal states in the union,
yep.
And the three states that are still locking down people more than any others,
yep.
Especially churches. You know, wouldn't it be nice if we were trying to get God on our side? Whatever happened today when politicians, even though they may not agree with Christianity, when things came up, they wanted the churches to pray for them.
Yeah.
Now we're trying to shut the churches down.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying God's doing this to judge us. I don't know. I wonder if he is a little bit. But I know this. God's probably sitting there saying, you don't want my help. So us as Christians, we need to do our job.
Amen.
We need to pray. We need to be the ones. And so let's make sure that we do that. Let's not be, and I don't say things just to heart, but I am very concerned because the average Christian, their worldview is taking more from television in the world than it is from the Bible. And it's sad that in our country, a lot of people that aren't even Christians understand the importance of what's going on in our country and the importance of the vote this November more than most Christians do.
Yeah.
We're just blatantly ignorant. And brethren, we can't stick our head in the sand.
Come on, come on.
And by the way, it's not for me. Now, I'm not old. Okay, my wife just had a birthday. Neither is she. Jerry's lived through the Civil War, World War I, World War II, and he's going to be here when the millennium starts. I'm sure he'll get through Armageddon. But I think about the next generation.
Come on.
You know, I think this year I have, in our school, I have 9 grandchildren. They're all like ridiculously young. We have like 10 grandchildren, 8 and under. That's called a daycare. I don't know if you knew that. But we have 9 grandchildren in our school and 1 daughter in the school. What about them? See, I harp on some things, and if you don't agree with me, that's fine. I don't watch sports anymore. I don't even check it out to see what's going on.
Come
I could not tell you what's going on with the Lakers. By the way, LeBron James is the worst. If I've not said that recently, let me just reiterate that. But on social media, you know, sometimes someone will post something. I think the first football game's tonight. They disrespected the national anthem and stood for the black national anthem. How can we talk about unity when we're being divisive? And we're going to watch that stuff? I ain't watching it. It's not allowed in my home. And unless they change their ways, and it's not for me. And it's not just because I'm belligerent and I'm the old man, stay off my lawn, although don't walk on my lawn, okay? But here's the deal, and we'll get to the message in a minute. What they're doing is they're pushing us to see how far that we'll take it. And businesses are doing it, and so they don't believe, they believe we're a bunch of Drew Brees. Drew Brees says he's a Christian, says he's patriotic, but both times he whimpered like a sissy and gave in when he said something. They think that's how Christians are. And so they're going to push their agenda and the garbage that they push because they know that we love that more than we love our beliefs and we'll give in. Now, for us, maybe that's not too bad. But you understand, we're leaving a world for our children. We're leaving a world for our grandchildren. And I at least want to stand up and like we have, while we have the opportunity and say, not me. I'm not in on that. And by the way, a lot of people are. Thank God for that. I saw the NBA was like down 40% viewership. Ought to be 100%. And I hope the Lakers lost, but don't tell me because I don't want to know. Okay, let's talk about God. What I want to do is, I think we have notes. It's been a while when this whole corona thing hit. I kind of was going through our discipleship, but I'm going to get back on track with that, going through that. We're going through the series, Dynamics of a Disciple, and I want to kind of finish this up in the next few weeks. What we're doing is we've got a whole brand new discipleship curriculum that I wrote, and we got them printed out. They're nice books, and what we're going to do probably in the next month, I'm going to teach through that in the church a little more in depth because I want us to understand the key basics and also how we can share that with others. We need to know what we believe so that we can share with others so they'll know what they believe. The average person doesn't know what they believe. They're just following what the church says. Well, we need to find out what we believe from the Bible. We need to understand the basics. We've actually written two discipleship books. One's already printed, and we have it here. We're actually going to give you we have the workbooks, and you can buy those. They were like, I think there's $7 we paid for them, but we're going to charge $5 if you want to have the notes in a book form to go through it with us in a few weeks. The second one's being proofread, and then we'll get that printed. And so, but I really want us to know. We need to know what we believe. We need to know the basics of the faith. We need to have a solid relationship with God so that when people get saved, you don't say, well, here, church, let's get these people growing in their faith. Here, church, let's help these people. Hey, we can help them. And that's what God wants. But we're looking about being a disciple. That's what this Dynamics of the Disciple series was really all about. We're in the second phase of it, which is disciples accept requirements. Now, by way of brief review, I said about disciples, and I think you have some of it there, is that a disciple is one who is more than a Christian. Now, I read a book by a guy, and he argued that once you get saved, you're automatically a disciple. Now, I'm not going to split hairs with him. I don't believe that. I believe you need to accept some things to be a disciple. We get saved, and we accept salvation, and then when we start growing in our faith, we come to a point where it's like, I'm going to be a committed disciple in my life for Christ, not just positionally through my salvation. And so you're more than just a Christian. Not that you can be anything. Being a Christian is all you need. Amen? But I mean more than a Christian in name. We're a Christian in action. And that's very important. In other words, the second phrase there, their life is more than just having salvation. Salvation has them. Now, thank God if someone gets saved and that's all they get and they end up in heaven, that's great. But you know what? There's a lot of good on this earth that salvation brings to our life if we'll let it. Amen. We've got to let it. We've got to get all in on it. We have to understand that. Being a disciple, it's more than just having Jesus. It's Jesus having them. Amen. And that's really the desire and the goal of discipleship. Being a disciple is not automatic. Okay? You're going to have to, if you're going to be a disciple, you're choosing to be a disciple. You're saying, I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. And that was the first thing we looked at. By the way, that term, and it's kind of going out of favor, but, you know, people for a while were, well, I'm not a Christian, I'm a Christ follower. Well, your life says otherwise. Yeah. Okay? I don't want to just hear that. If you're a Christ follower, it'll actually be something that you seek to do in your life. You know, I'm not perfect, but I'm just trying to follow Christ in my everyday life and do what he says. So, but that's not automatic. It's a decision, and it must be accepted. So therefore, not every Christian is a disciple, but every Christian should be a disciple. And thank God, you're here on Thursday nights. And I'm going to assume that you're here, that you have some type of desire to be close to God.
Amen.
To be close to Christ. Now, I'll just mention them. We've, over the, whatever how many months we've been doing this, I think it's less than 18, we looked at the requirement of understanding. We must understand it, what it takes to be a disciple. The requirement of Christ-likeness. The requirement of maturity. The requirement of commitment. And the requirement of sacrifice. Now, I want to look at a new one. The requirement of discernment. Now, the blanks weren't put together very well. Underneath discernment, there's the definition. So you probably figured that one out, right? Okay, it goes right above there. Discernment. Being discerning. The average Christian is not discerning. We'll let you know what that is right now. Discernment is the ability to make judgments, to distinguish between and recognize the moral implications of different decisions, situations, and courses of action. That's discernment. One of the reasons I'm concerned about Christians giving into what's going on and letting the world throw stuff in our face. Look, if a business throws something in my face that's anti-God and I can shop elsewhere, I ain't shopping there. I know that's not popular. I haven't been to Target since 3 years now. Since they decided to let anybody go into any bathroom they wanted to go into under any circumstance, and it's not a law. They were the first one to do it, and I said, I'm not going there anymore.
Yeah.
And by the way, I love the red dot. I mean, I'm like, that's by our house. I went in one time on vacation. I had to use a restroom. So I'm like, I'll use a restroom. I'm actually taking money from them as opposed, I flushed the toilet like 6 times, like, take that. Okay? I used the mail, and I made sure there was no ladies in there, all right? But it's just about the, look, there may come a day when it's like it's a law. And then it's like, there's nothing we can do about it. We just have to be, you know, make sure our kids go to the bathroom before we go to the store. But right now, while I have a choice, by the way, they lost billions of dollars in stock value because of that, because people were stopping shopping there. By the way, that spoke to them. But they take the long-term approach because most people don't stick with what. But again, to me, I'm just looking to the future, and that's not a big deal. And if you shop there, that's between you and the red dot. I'm okay. But discernment looks at things and, like, it's not what's happening right now. Where is this going to take in the future? What is this going to lead to? What moral implications are there of this situation if it's going to go farther down the line? See, we don't think forward. We think temporal. We think about what's going on right now, and biblical discernment is looking forward. Most Christians get themselves in the same situations as non-believers because of a lack of discernment. I don't expect non-believers to have spiritual discernment, but it's very important for Christians. The fact of the matter is most Christians don't even realize what's going on until it's too late. And it's like, you should have stopped and smelled the roses before. We have to realize that sometimes the steps we take will lead to problems and pain in the future. We might want to avoid those. You see, people without discernment will often reject the truths that they have been taught, because they have never sought to understand the truths that were taught and make them their own beliefs and convictions. And a lot of you young folks, that's where you're really at. You follow some of the things that are in our school and in our rule book. And by the way, the rule book isn't scripture. Okay, some of the things in there have nothing to do with right or wrong. It's just, you got to have guidelines and rules in a school, right? By the way, don't harp about those. Well, where's that in there? We're not saying that's Bible. When you're, but some of the things, it's just like we don't have to make a bunch of judgment decisions. But some of the things you're doing, you just do because you're told, and you're not really seeing from the Bible what that's all about. And like, you know what? That's a biblical thing, and we do it to protect ourselves from what could happen in the future if we didn't do those things. And people without discernment will reject it. Well, because, well, this looks cool, and I saw this on Instagram or whatever it is, and it just looks like, how come they can do it and we can't? Well, we need to look farther down the road. Where will that course of action potentially lead? Is there a biblical principle behind that? Now, I want us to look at a few verses here and see the importance of this concept from Scripture. So let's look at Mark chapter number 4. If it's in your note outline there. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. Jesus here in the chapter in Mark is explaining different parables, but many people, because of their spiritual level or lack of a spiritual level, didn't understand what he was trying to say. And often his disciples even did not understand it, and so he would have to stop and explain it to them so that they got the concept he was trying to get out. If anybody should have had enough discernment to understand the truths that others miss, it should have been his disciples. Jesus had been with them for 3 years, and his whole deal was so that when he went to heaven, these would be the pillars, these would be the foundation of the church that he would leave. They were his key men. He took the time to teach them, but they needed to take the time to fully understand and want to comprehend what he was leaving them. And they had that desire, all but one, okay, Judas. Now, by the way, one of the points of that is, it's not just your responsibility to hear the word that's taught. This is in your notes. You are to make the words your own and to read it regularly and study what it says so you understand its doctrines. That's your responsibility. Now, we can teach a subject, and we'll teach it for a week, and then we move on, but you've got to get it. And as you read through your Bible, by the way, you'll see this. People say some things about Christianity and in this, and I read the New Testament, and I'm like, what are they reading? I mean, it just jumps up and hits you upside the head. Someone recently, I read a post or something, they were criticizing standing up to saying things about the government or what's going on in society. And just that morning, I opened up Ezekiel, and I'm like, that's what God told them to do. I don't understand what they're reading. Okay? It's like, don't spare it. Tell them what's going on here. Tell God's people what's the ills of society. And by the way, churches have backed down from that. You say, sometimes, Pastor Myers, you talk a little bit too much about what's going on in society. Who's going to if the church doesn't? Study the history of our nation. Back in the early days of our country, when things arose, they went to the church to find out what God's position was on that. And by the way, I'm duty bound by Scripture to teach the truth. I cannot sit here in church and not say something about that bill, and I believe it's still on our governor's desk, that's trying to change the age of consent. It's on his desk now. Every other, political, they've all passed it. The age of consent is now within 10 years of each other. 24-year-old can be with a 14-year-old, and his penalty will be greatly diminished, and he will not be a registered sex offender because there's that 10-year difference. That's the people you're voting into office. And I'm not going to tell you what they are, but their color's blue. That's not red. Say, you're too political. Well, I have to tell you the truth. I don't say a person could be a Christian and vote blue. That's godless. There's one party that's pro-abortion. There's one party that's pushing all this immoral, sexual garbage. You say the other party's not perfect. Duh. I wish there was a godly party. There isn't. We got to vote for the one that's closest. Yes. I'm not going to stand before God and say I voted for that guy and he's pro-abortion.
Come on.
I can't.
Yeah.
Anyhow, that went over well.
That's okay.
But I'm just saying, I don't even know where I was going with that. But we need to understand the truths ourselves. We do. We'll get up and tell you the truth, but you better get in your Bible.
Yeah.
And don't just listen with your friend that goes to whatever, Hosanna, whatever. Okay, look in the scriptures for yourself.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm not antagonistic towards other churches that aren't Baptist and they're preaching the gospel. I'm glad for everybody they get saved, but they're ruining the vineyard.
Yeah.
But I don't want to just take what they say because they said it. I actually want to see if it's in scripture. Okay, and I'm not just going to follow something because it's cool or whatever. I want to be right. And if I'm wrong, okay.
Yep.
But you're going to have to decide that for yourself. You need to know what you believe. And by the way, don't tell me, you know, this thing like it's so hard to understand the doctrines of Scripture, to know what the Bible says. Listen, last Christmas, back before I boycotted everything, we were at the mall. I said, why do you go to the mall? Because they have Cinnabon there. Hello. But I was in the wall and the kids were shopping. So I'm like, you know, I was going to get my son-in-law a gift, Gary, and he was a 49ers fan. And I thought, I'm going to get him a 49ers hat. But when I put it in my hand started to burn. I don't know what that was all about. And so it was almost as if I could have killed myself, I had a Raider hat. That would have been horrible. But I'm standing in line with this hat and the guy behind me, like, you know, he's talking, hey, are you a 49ers fan? It's like, actually, no, they make me sick to my stomach, but it's my son-in-law. He's not saved, so I'm going to get this for him. But these guys were talking to me, and I mean, they didn't just, one was Minnesota Vikings. Now, Minnesota, seriously? And these guys were talking about their teams, and they knew everything. Everything. Not just minors. I mean, they knew the guys, you know, when the last time their quarterback shaved. They knew it all. And I'm thinking, I wonder if we were that motivated about the Bible, if maybe we'd know a little bit more. Okay, it's not that we can't. Sometimes it's our motivation level. And it's easy and all that's going on. I'm not trying to slam you too hard. It's easy and it's all that's going on sometimes to let things get in our way. But we do need to make time to understand what we believe.
Amen.
We need to be in this book. Okay, because if we don't get the doctrines, we'll look around. When we don't get the true doctrines of Scripture, we look around for the lowest common denominator of Christianity and be sucked into a second-rate Christianity. And by the way, I look at these things and I read them. And there's so many people I see guys quote and I know what they believe. They barely believe salvation.
Yeah.
And some of them, I doubt if they do. But they had a nice quote and we read their book and it had a nice sleeve and a nice cover. Or someone put a video clip online. Listen, we might want to know what they really believe.
Yeah.
Vitally important. We need to know what we believe. It amazes me the low level living that alleged Christian churches not only partake of, but fully endorse. Why? Because we're just not getting into the book. We don't have discernment. The thing in Christianity is drinking. It's not a big deal. It is a big deal. I don't know. It could be because God hates it. All right. By the way, we're getting some books. We're not going to have a full-blown bookstore yet, but there's several books, a series of about 10 different books I've read that the staff has read, and we're going to get them out there that I really want you. There's one. How many remember Brother Sinclair, the missionary who was in the car when someone got shot? He wrote a small book about alcohol, and it's very knowledgeable. It's not just preacher going off talk. It's really knowledgeable. There's stuff in there I've never heard anybody say before, and we're going to get those, and I encourage you to buy that and read it. But it just goes through what the Bible's talking about, the different words for wine, how it was, and it's just really good. But it amazes me. Even if it's not in the Bible, I don't see how a Christian could be interested in that. I know pastors, and they're not our ilk, that, you know, these churches, it's okay to drink. They're alcoholics. One of the biggest churches in our country 10 years ago, this guy's like, it's okay to drink. He lost his church and his marriage because he became an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Didn't see that coming. Where's the discernment? And by the way, and I'm not proud of this, but you can't fool someone that's drank before.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's not drinking, it's drunkenness. You're not dealing with a novice, okay? It affects you. And all the ways I've read, all the things the Bible says about it, and I can just tell you from knowing others and personal experience, it's all true.
Yeah.
It's almost like, I don't know, the Bible's really true. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it takes a low level of discernment not to be able to see that when even unsaved. Look, I won't go into it. So we need to understand that. Now, I want you to let's take the problem a little further. I'm going somewhere. We probably won't get there tonight, but I'm going to look at it next week, and I think it'll help us. Matthew chapter 15, verse 10. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth that defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto them, knowest thou not that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this thing? Bottom line goes, you tick these guys off. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. He says, they're not one of ours. No wonder they're upset. Let them alone. They that be blind, leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto them, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are you also without understanding? See, they were concerned that they ate without washed hands. And Jesus said, listen, it's not what goes in that defiles you. It's what comes out of you. Yeah. Not food. It's the garbage. And then he's like, they're like, hey, man, you really made the Pharisees mad. He's like, they're not one of us. They have no roots. They're not saved. And they're like, and then it's like, Jesus, what are you talking about? He's like, you don't get it either? I mean, these were his guys. These were the ones that they should have got it. They didn't have, and he's saying, come on, you have to get it. By the way, give them credit. They got it. They all gave their lives as martyrs. No one's going to die for something they don't really understand or believe. But he had to get on them. They didn't get it. It's a mild rebuke. What's the point? We have to understand and know the scriptures and the principles in a more discerning, deeper way if they're going to be profitable in our life. This surface stuff's not going to fly. None of this, well, you know, I love Jesus and, you know, boo-hoo and that's all good. And yeah, I crack open my Bible 3 times a year. That's not going to cut it. We got to know it. By the way, I remember in the early days of our church, we were really a young church. We had the few group of the older Cambodians, but we focused our time on the teenagers. And I had a whole group of them. And we would spend the day together on Saturday, and I'd take them out. You know, we go soul winning, and I do an activity with them or whatever. And they were all really new in this whole Christianity thing. And to be honest with you, sometimes I'm like, man, these guys aren't getting it. I was a little rougher with them. You know, they allowed that. And I remember one time we were out on a Saturday, and they were all Cambodians. We were Cambodian Baptist Church. And this Cambodian girl came across the street dressed immaculately, teenager, about their age. And she said, what are you guys doing? And I, oh, we're Christians. We're out talking to people about the Lord. She goes, I'm a Jehovah Witness. She goes, I know what you guys believe. I'm like, sure. She just doctrinally, she was spot on. She knew what we believe. And after that, I told our guys, I'm like, you're going to let this Cambodian girl who believes a false doctrine know more about the Bible than you guys know? I'm like, we need to get our act together. And they got it. I think it was a good lesson for them. But they know their stuff. Do we know our stuff? Do we know what we believe and why we believe it? Look at the little statement. You may follow something as you grow that you may not fully know. But you need to grow to where you follow because you know. It's okay. Listen, when you're training a two-year-old, hey, do that. And they'll say, why? And it's like, here's the best answer to give them. Because I said, Uncle Woody, if you want to be Uncle Woodrow. Say, you're going to listen because I told you. You're two. Now, as they get older, that doesn't work for a 17-year-old. Why? I said. Well, if they don't have a bad spirit, it's like, here's why we do this. Okay? You ought to learn why you do things. And follow the rules if you don't quite understand it, but you need to listen to what's being taught. You need to listen to the scriptures. And by the way, if you're open and you're reading the scriptures, the truth is there. Luke chapter 8, verse 9 and 10. And the disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? Okay. Like, what are you talking about? And he said, unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. but to others in parables that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Of course, this is after the parable of the seed and the sower, the word and the heart. Again, they needed guidance. They needed guidance in understanding the truth. By the way, I'm glad sometimes I was doing something, some business we had to do, and I had to make a phone call. And most of these, they outsource their information to like another country. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And so I call and I say, oh, let me get you to a representative. Okay, now obviously she was a Filipina and she obviously lived in the Philippines because her accent was thick. Thick. And she's talking. The first couple times I'm like, I didn't get that. Excuse me? And I got tired of saying that, so I'm like, let me just catch the key words. Okay? But it's like, I couldn't understand what she was saying. And I'm like, okay, wait a minute. This is going to go on my credit card. I better get this, all right? Now you're saying, what are you saying? I need to understand what they were saying. I didn't get it. But there was some part she was talking like, okay, but I'm like, okay, I'll just hope that that's right. And I'll look at my credit card and make sure she didn't double charge me. Because I was embarrassed to ask. I'm glad the disciples weren't embarrassed to ask. Even though sometimes Jesus called them out like, really? You don't have faith? But they were willing to ask like, what does this mean? Okay? By the way, that's a good desire for our hearts, is it not? To say, what does that mean? I want to understand that. I want to know the principle behind that. I want to know where and the why. And next week we'll get to it. I'm going to talk to you about how you make some principles in your life. And probably it's in your notes. We'll get to it later. How do you come to convictions and that type of things in your life? How does that work? Now, let me just give you point A really quick. It's only a couple minutes and then we'll stop. I got three thoughts on discernment, and then there's some things I want to share underneath the other two, but we'll get that to next week. First of all, and this is important, discernment is an understanding that guides our decisions. Discernment is an understanding that guides our decisions. Okay? All of us need counselors, right? All of us need help sometimes to understand something. Well, I like this in Psalm chapter 119, verse 24. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. See, life's full of a lot of stuff. Life's full of a lot of decisions. Life's full of a lot of problems. Life's full of a lot of garbage. And we have to make right decisions. And every time we're not smart enough to make the right decisions. We need somebody outside of ourselves who understands the situation far better than we ever could. Guess who that is? That is God. And God needs to be our counselor. Well, wait a minute. How do I counsel with God? You know, people will say, you know, I prayed about this. That's great. But sometimes we think there's an answer to prayer, or we think we heard something in prayer, and if it contradicts Scripture, it wasn't an answer to prayer. It was our hearts. Okay? God confirms it. Well, I want God to speak to me. Read the Bible. I've said this again. Well, I want him to speak out loud. Then read it out loud. God's not going to come to your room tonight and drop some words. Hey, wake up, son. I want to talk to you. If he does, open the Bible. But God has given us his counsel in his word. That's why we need to be in it. And as we understand his word and the principles, and we really dig into it, the things that come our way, we can think with God's mind, not because we're God, because we have God's word. And God's word is God's mind. You know, what is God's stamp of approval on the situation? Read the Bible. That's our counselors. So when we have discernment, it's an understanding that guides our decision. We can look at decision from every aspect of God. Okay? Does God specifically speak on this subject? Yes or no? Has God given principles that relate to this subject? It may not be a yes or no thing, but there are principles in his word that can guide our decision, because it's going to lead us as to here's potential consequences that can come. We need to look down the road. Wisdom helps us to see the decision, not just from the fulfillment of today, but from future consequences tomorrow. That's discernment. And it starts with God's word. And so our decisions must be guided by God's word. And that's hard for us because we want to do our own thing. And so that's just the beginning. We will finish this up next week. Let's pray. Our Father, we are grateful for your word. I'm so glad that you just did not leave us down here alone. I don't want to have to make the decisions that come my way in my life without your input. And I bet a lot of people in here are the same way. But Father, help us to follow through so that we are students of your word and not just to hear what you say, so that we can understand it and apply it to the things that come our way. And not just look at what the world says or those around us are saying, but in a discerning sense, we can look at it from your perspective and what the potential outcome could be. Bless our folks now as we go our way. Thank you, Lord, for the beginning of school and the blessing that is. Thank you for these folks that are here tonight. I pray you'd work in our lives. Be with our country during this time. Give comfort to those that are struggling. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.